Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Helen Keller said, it's better to be blind in both eyes than to have two good eyes and see nothing with your heart. That's what faith is all about. It's acknowledging God is. He's here and I see. I see His handiwork. In fact, most believers, when they give their life to the Lord and they start to grow, they start to look back and reflect on their life and they go, oh, God's hand. Now wonder that. And they look back and they can see the fingerprints of God in scenarios and situations in their life as they grow, and they look back and it bolsters their faith so they begin to see Him more clearly as they're going forward.
Have you ever gone looking for something and you looked everywhere, high and low, leaving no stone unturned, and still you couldn't find it? Whatever it was you were looking for, sometimes when you finally do find what you're looking for, you realize it was right there in front of you all along. In today's message, Pastor Troy reminds us that God is not lost. Yes, we should seek Him, but He's always right there alongside us. In reality, we are the ones who need to be found by Him. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 9 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in John chapter 9, verses 35 through 41. Talk about seeing clearly. Let me read something I found. Story, Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. So they decided to go camping, and it was a beautiful night. They were somewhere in England, and they cooked a wonderful meal at the campground. They pitched their tent and retired to bed for the evening. A few hours later, Sherlock Holmes woke up and nudged his sidekick, Dr. Watson. Watson opened his eyes, and Holmes said to Watson, "What do you see, Dr. Watson?" Watson said, "I see stars, lots and lots of stars. And you know," he said to Sherlock Holmes, "it's just beautiful out." Well, he thought, "I think I need to give a great answer to this." So Sherlock Holmes is a great thinker. So he began to expound. "Astronomically, I deduce by my observation that there are possibly billions of stars and planets and even other galaxies. Astrologically, I can see that and observe that Saturn is in Leo. Chronologically, I can deduce that it's probably about 3:15 in the morning. Theologically, I conclude that there must be an all-powerful God who made this, and I am very small in comparison to Him. And finally, meteorologically, I can surmise that we're going to have a wonderful day tomorrow." And he thought that was a very good answer. And he said, "What do you see, Sherlock Holmes?" Holmes turned to Watson and said, "You foolish man, you don't get it. It's so obvious. Someone stole our tent." All of those wonderful deductions, he just saw so many things, but he missed the main thing. He missed the point. And that's exactly what we're dealing with today with the religious leaders who... It's obvious that this man born blind is now healed. He can see. It's obvious that it's him. It was also obvious that it's Jesus who performed this miracle, who healed the man. And Jesus' claims of being equal with God are obvious. But they still just cannot see or will not see. It's a refusal to see what all this means about Jesus. So we have a man who was born blind, but now he's able to see, and he's able to see very clearly. And we have individuals who can see physically with their eyes, but they are spiritually blind. They don't see the things of God. You know, Helen Keller, who, by the way, wasn't just blind, but she was also deaf. Helen Keller said, "It's better to be blind in both eyes than to have two good eyes and see nothing with your heart." That's what faith is all about. It's acknowledging God is. He's here, and I see. I see his handiwork. In fact, most believers, when they give their life to the Lord and they start to grow, they start to look back and reflect on their life and they go, oh, God's hand. No wonder that. And they look back and they can see the fingerprints of God in scenarios and situations in their life as they grow, and they look back and it bolsters their faith, so they begin to see him more clearly as they're going forward. In a single moment, this blind beggar, who was just a beggar, he had to depend on everybody else to lead him to where he could beg. He had to beg for money, and that's all he was. He was reduced to nothing, maybe just someone who was in the way. Well, in a single moment, he went from that position, and he was promoted to an ambassador to the kingdom of God. Now, that's quite a promotion. It's the promotion that we all receive when Jesus Christ comes into our life. Have you heard the old saying, seeing is believing? And what that means is, you can't really trust something personally until you see it for yourself and experience it. And there are times that in our flesh we go, I need to see it. Even Thomas, who doubted, said, I won't believe until I see. And Jesus showed up and showed him. But that's what Jesus does. You see, spiritually, we're called to walk by faith. And we don't always see everything. We don't always see the end. We don't always see how it's going to turn out. But God's stirring in our heart. He's speaking to our heart. He's directing. And we're like, I don't see it. I don't know. And so we're called to walk by faith and to trust him, even when the storms arise. And they will. They always do. But those who walk by faith, they come through. And they come through it seeing. They see more clear than they ever have before. In fact, we often wonder, why don't I always trust the Lord? Well, we're going to consider four stages that everyone passes through, comes through, who comes to Christ on their journey from darkness to God's glorious light. We're beginning in verse 35. It says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. That's the blind man, the man who had been born blind. They cast him out. Remember the Pharisees? They cast him out because he would not denounce Jesus, and you're out of here. And so he's no longer got access to the synagogue or to God in their understanding of that relationship. So Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? The first thing that everyone goes through is a humbling reality. A humbling reality, and we'll expose what that is here in just a moment. But here's a guy who's been cast out of the religion, which is his access to God. I can't be close to God. When they cast me out, I have no relationship with the Lord. And so Jesus approaches him and says, do you believe in the Son of God? It's not that difficult. It's not that impossible. You're trying to get in by people and through a religion, but here's the truth. All you have to do is believe in the Son of God. So he asks him the question, do you believe in the Son of God? Now it says they had cast him out. That was the great fear of any Jew because of the relationship with God that was supposed to happen through that religion. It was such a great fear that this man's own parents wouldn't even stand up for him for fear of being thrown out of the synagogue. They were afraid. But I also want you to notice what it says in verse 35. When he, that's Jesus, had found him. Jesus found the man. Jesus heard the man had been thrown out. Jesus found the man. This is a man who probably would have felt, and maybe I've lost it. Is even having my sight worth it? I may have lost access to God. And isn't it amazing when Jesus shows up and asks this question, do you believe in the Son of God? He was rejected by religious men, but know this, it was Christ who searched him out and not the other way around. Every now and then you'll hear someone say, I found the Lord. My life has changed. I have found the Lord. Like we're the one. He's lost. You know, oh, I found him. He was off in the corner, you know, with the dust bunnies and everything. I found the Lord. But you were with the dust bunnies, not him. He finds you. You are found by him. In fact, he's not even that far away. You just have to acknowledge him. He's there. We just have to have our eyes opened up. And they're only opened up by faith. It's as if there's some reality there we can't see until we go, Lord, help me. I believe in you. Boom. And then everything seems to change in a moment. You remember that parable that Jesus told? He actually told two parables. One about the treasure, and the man sold everything, purchased the treasure, decided he would come back later and get his treasure. And he also mentioned a pearl of great price in addition to a treasure. Here's what's interesting about that story. A treasure is valuable to anyone. It's a treasure. But a pearl was not valuable to the Jews. Pearls were not valuable to the Jews. They were valuable to certain Gentile nations, certain Gentile kings. So for the Jews to hear of a pearl of great price would be like, what is this all about? No, pearls are not valuable because they had no value in pearls. And what it was a picture of, many think that these parables were about us searching for the Lord. I found him. Oh, and I'm going to give up everything to follow him. But that's not what the parable is about, because the parable speaks of selling everything and gaining it, purchasing it. What can we purchase? What can you purchase? Can you purchase a relationship with him? Can you purchase the field? What can you purchase? We can't. It's impossible. The parable would make no sense. It's about the Lord. He's the man. He's the king. He's the one who searches out, and he finds. And what's interesting is the treasure, obviously, he sold everything, wants the treasure. And the Jews consider themselves a treasure, but a pearl? This is a picture. Jesus already starting to show a picture of the fact that Gentiles are going to, not valued by the Jews at all, but they're going to be valued, and he sees it as so valuable, sells everything to buy it. See, that's the love of God for you. You're the value, you're the treasure, you're the pearl. The song Amazing Grace puts it so well. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. So the first stage everyone comes through is a humbling reality, and that humbling reality is you can do nothing to save yourself. God seeks you.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, and book-by-book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
We're not searching for him. Scripture even says we're not searching for him. Now, it's true. We may be on a spiritual journey. We may realize there's something bigger, but we don't know what it is. So people will look in drugs and in spiritual things, and they're on a search for sure, but they're not seeking after God. They don't know who to seek after. God has to reveal himself. And so God does. In fact, in every human life, we'll talk about this in a moment, but in every human life, you could look back and see the hand of God in that life, somewhere doing something, if we would just acknowledge it. Look at verse 35 again. He, Jesus, said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" See, at this point, the blind man is thinking, I'll put my life in this guy's hands. You tell me who he is and I'll believe in him. So he's saying, I believe you, so I'll believe whatever you say. Tell me who he is, and I will believe in him. And oh, how wonderful it is, Jesus said to him, verse 37, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. I am him. Here's an important priority. The next thing everyone goes through is understanding this important priority. Why does Jesus ask this question? I mean, the guy's just received his sight and he's been cast out of the synagogue. He could have first gone in and said, how is it with your sight? Oh, isn't it amazing, you know, soft entry here. Or, man, I heard about you getting kicked out of the synagogue, man. That's a bummer. But he doesn't. He goes, do you believe in the Son of, you know, the Son of God? Do you believe in him? And really what it is, it's a contrast. He's been thrown out of a religion thinking he no longer has access to God. And now Jesus is about to reveal to him, oh no, that's not where access is. Do you believe in the Son of God? It's a lot easier than that. So the reason Jesus goes in straight up with this question is because this is the most important question in life. It doesn't matter what circumstances you find yourself in. It doesn't matter what has happened, what hasn't happened, what you'd like to be. No matter where you're at, the most important question in life is, do you believe in the Son of God? We need to understand something. The healing of this blind man was really only important to Christ in that it served to lead this man to a saving faith. This act was done to give this man every opportunity to believe. Remember, Jesus told his disciples as they were walking by and first saw this man. They said, well, you know, who sin did this to him? His or his parents? Jesus said, neither him or his parents, but that the works of God might be revealed in him. God's doing a work, and in his life, this is going to be something that ministers to him and gives him every opportunity to know there is a God. And it will also give those who are watching that same opportunity. Now, I've said this before, but I think it bears repeating. Your faith is more valuable than your health as far as the Lord is concerned. Your faith. One day your health is going to fail. For certain periods of time throughout life it will fail. But there is coming a time for all of us when it will finally fail. No one dies of perfect health. You know, we die. Something's happening. We're all in that process. And so, the only thing that goes beyond that or decides which direction we go beyond that is our faith. Here's a man who was born blind. Some are born poor, right? You can use that as an excuse. Well, if I have this, and that's why I'm mean, and that's why I'm miserly, and so we can use it as an excuse. Some are born rich. You can use that as an excuse too. Well, I just don't hang out with those. I don't understand them. You know, they're dirty and filthy and whatever. They make bad decisions. They're lazy. Whatever it might be. You can use it as an excuse for arrogance, distance. Some people are born in abusive homes. Hard fathers. But let me tell you something. Whatever you've come through in your life, wherever you've been allowed to be, not some of your own consequences of your own making. You make a choice and you get a spanking. Oh, the Lord brought that upon me to teach me salvation. No, he taught you that to stop doing the other thing. It's a consequence. Don't do it. You're going to get spanked. But as far as things beyond our control, where we're born, circumstances that happen in our life, illnesses, whatever it might be, they're out of our control. God allows all of those things. Sin kind of brings them, but a sinful world. But God permits them for the purpose of giving people every opportunity to respond the right way to them, to know that there is a God in hopes that they might search for him. You know, my dad was a hard man on me. He was a very hard man on me. And what it did was it turned me to the Lord and to my dog. So I would cry with my dog and I would cry out to God and I would talk to the Lord. He was the only one who understood. He was the only one who knew. He was the only one who was there. As a child, because I had heard it somewhere, because someone had said, God was so there for me at a young age. But not everyone responds that way. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they just don't want to turn that way. This is hard. I'm going to use it as an excuse instead of an opportunity to turn to the Lord and cry. I'm going to run away. I'm going to run away. And sometimes they just continue to run away. Other times they go through other hardships and different things happen to them. God all along getting their attention until finally they go, like the prodigal son, this isn't good. Maybe God will accept me. Man, I've done a lot of bad things against him. Man, I was resistant. And they find a loving father who was there all along. They didn't have to go through all of those things. So, an important priority, the greatest priority for your life, is we must believe. Everyone must go through that too, those who walk and grow into the glorious light of Christ. We must believe Jesus, the Son of God. The word believe here means more than just to acknowledge, but to commit to. Now, I said that God does everything in our life because his desire, Scripture says, God is unwilling that any should perish. Do you know who any are? In the Greek, it means every single person who existed as a human being. He's not willing that any should perish. So what he does is he allows us to be born or to be in this or to go through this trial, to go through this hurt or to experience this miracle, whatever it is, because he knows us best in his mind, in his heart, to give us every opportunity. Every human being has this opportunity. Every opportunity to come to faith. Let me read something to you in Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. We go through those things because God's desire is, I know that hurt. Turn to me. I know you're blessed. Give me glory. So that we would learn to turn. But it is the stubbornness, the pride, the resistance, whatever it is in man's heart that says, no, I'm not turning that direction. In fact, for some, it goes even further. In fact, I'm going to blame. If there is a God, I'm blaming him. That's a condition of the heart. We don't know where that ultimately goes, but God does. And we're going to talk about the shepherd, the good shepherd, how the sheep know his voice. They hear it. They respond to it. You almost can never really tell whether someone is saved or not. We can't judge that until the end when God divides them up. I mean, if you looked at some of the pastors that I know, Calvary Chapel pastors that were out there, and you hear their testimony, if you looked at them at point A or B, you'd go, definitely hell, no hope for them. And then, you know, down here at Z, like, what? They're a pastor? And serving the Lord faithfully. So we don't know where someone's at in that timeline. Makes it hard. So all that we can do is if someone's acting like an unbeliever at any given moment, treat them like an unbeliever. If they say they're a believer and they're not walking in the Lord, then we need to treat them like, okay, you say you're a believer. The Bible says I should treat you even harsher then. An unbeliever doesn't know what they're doing, but you're saying you know the Lord and you're living like that. So I can't even fellowship with you. I have to distance myself. So we learn to deal with the different individuals according to what they're saying and what's true. But the priority is that we must believe in Christ.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Needley will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your